Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on contract penalty clause right after this. Well, how many laws did Moses give us in the Mosaic Law, and how many laws has our state and federal governments given us in our secular government? Well, Moses gave us 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments. 759. But our government, at last count, has given us 2.5 million laws. Now, the Apostle Peter said that we ought to obey God rather than men in Acts 5, verse 29, and Congress said that we ought to voluntarily apply the teachings of the Scripture. That's right, the Scripture, in the lives of families, individuals, and societies. And they said that in Public Law 97-280. And our Supreme Court said that there is a higher loyalty than loyalty to this country, and that is loyalty to God. And they said that in Seeger versus United States. Now, every authority is in agreement. The Congress, the Supreme Court, and God Almighty Himself, that the Scriptures are the final authority on law. Now, if you'd like to learn these 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments and how to use them against government intrusion into your God-given rights, I contend that it's a right, a duty, an obligation that we owe to ourselves, our families, and to our society. And here at the law school, we teach these 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, along with the penalties for the violation of these laws. Now, why don't you make it a point to regain your First Amendment right to free exercise of your religion this year? And the First Amendment now is the gateway to the Second Amendment, and indeed, it's the gateway to your whole Bill of Rights. The law of God may be old, but it's not old-fashioned, and it is very relevant to our lives, and it's very relevant to our rights today. Now, if you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order my free General Law CD package? Remember, that's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free, and you can call and order yours right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Now, the Mosaic Law School is also available on compact disc for adult home study, and if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send an email request for that free General Law CD package. Again, georgegordon.org, or call direct, 417-273-4967. All right, talking about the contract penalty clause. No contracts have to have a penalty clause. So if I was going to remodel your kitchen, we'd put a penalty clause in. If you don't pay me, then I'm going to stop work. And if I do something that's outside the scope of the contract, or I fail to perform on the contract, you're not going to pay me. And in fact, we could put in all kinds of penalty clauses. You could have a penalty clause in there that if I don't finish the job on time, or within 30 days, let's just pick a number, 30 days, that every day that it takes me to finish that job after 30 days, I have to forfeit $100 on the payment. So if I finish in 30 days, why, I get paid. If I finish in 31 days, you knock $100 off. If I finish in 40 days, you knock $1,000 off. We could work it the other way. What if I finish the job in 25 days? You pay me an extra $100 a day. If I finish the job in 20 days, you pay me an extra $1,000. These kinds of clauses in contracts are designed to create incentives. There's an incentive to make you want to do something, to make you want to do it faster, to make you want to do it better. Well, God isn't any different than you and I. He put some incentives into this contract. If you do this contract, you're going to get these benefits. And if you do it well, you're going to get additional benefits. But if you don't do this job, if you don't do what you've agreed to do, then we're going to take away these benefits. And then it gets worse. Not only will we take away your benefits if you really get up in arms or you get antsy with me, then I'm going to add some real stiff penalties. And that's what we're talking about here in Deuteronomy 28, starting in verse 15. These penalties get really tough. So first of all, you lose your benefits. And then if that's not enough to reform you, then we start giving you Hurricane Katrinas and droughts. And then he said in Leviticus 26, if you'll remember, I'll multiply this 7 times on you. Boys and girls, I can't imagine 7 Hurricane Katrinas. I mean, we got 2 of them. You got Hurricane Katrina and Rita last year. Now, can you imagine getting 2 more of them this year? Or maybe 5 this year? Or how about hurricanes that are even worse? I don't know how you can get much worse than destroying a whole city like New Orleans, but I guess we could start on Mobile, Alabama, and Miami, and Tampa, and Tallahassee. I guess if God needs to, I guess he'll have to do that. But wouldn't it be more intelligent for us to get reformed, straighten up and fly right, as my old dad used to say, and collect the benefits? I mean, the benefits are worth a lot of money. And America became the wealthiest, most powerful political and economic power in the world in about 100 years. I say that's pretty significant. Canada, you know, you people aren't poor up there in Canada. And Australia, you know, you're living pretty well down there in Australia, a whole lot better than the people in Bangladesh and India. And we got that because our founding fathers in each of these Anglo-Saxon nations practiced a great deal, if not all, but most of this Mosaic law. And as a result of that, they collected the benefits. Over time, we decided, for whatever reason, that we wanted to practice communism. We decided that instead of practicing thou shalt not steal, we would practice thou shalt not own property. That's what the first plank to the Communist Manifesto calls for, an abolition of the right to property. Thou shalt not steal guarantees your right to property. Not entirely clear to me why it is that we prefer having an equitable interest in government property rather than owning the property in fee simple ourselves, but for some reason we made that decision. I guess we thought that there was more profit in it. Now, as a result of that, we have growing national debts, personal and private debts, business debt. Our social security systems are Ponzi schemes. In fact, our monetary system is nothing but a Ponzi scheme, and not just in the United States, but worldwide. You people in Australia and Canada have the same problem. Same problem we have here in the United States. Excessive debt. And it'll come back and bite us in the butt at some future date. It's not a problem today, tomorrow, or next week, but it's coming. And you ought to be prepared for it, because it's talked about in Bible prophecy. Now let's take a look at some of these prophecies and see, as we go through, how many are actually in full force and effect or are coming to pass today. We stopped last night. We were talking here about Deuteronomy 28. In verse 15, he says, it'll come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Eternal your God, to observe to do all of his commandments and all of his statutes, which I command you this day, that all of these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. In verse 16, he said, cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the field. All right, let's take a look at our cities. Crime-ridden. Dirty. Bankrupt. We have gang violence. And, you know, take a look at your cities with the smog, air pollution. And then ask yourself, well, now, are we really blessed in our cities, or could these cities stand a little overhaul? Could they stand a little improvement? Take a look at Detroit. Detroit, as the industries move out of the city, is turning more and more into a ghetto. population is leaving. Fewer people live there in Detroit today than did 25 or 30 years ago. Is that what you call blessed? Take a look at New York City. You know, you people are crowded together into these megalopolis urban areas. Crowded together. Dependent upon trucks and railroads and airlines bringing in your food, for crying out loud. Instead of having a supply of food on hand, you live with about 3 days in your refrigerator, if you have that much. 3 days. You call that a blessing? All right, now he said, you'd be cursed in the city and you'd be cursed in the field. Now take a look at our agriculture in the United States. We used to be an agricultural nation, a nation of plenty, at least here in the United States. We exported grain. You know that next year, 2007 or 2008, America is going to be a net importer of food? Can you believe that? This was the breadbasket of the world. This is the country in the 1960s that came to the aid of India with 600 ships plying the oceans back and forth to keep that nation from starving to death. It was 1968. Today, we're just about to the point where we're consuming everything that we produce, or we import, you know, more than we export. Not quite there yet, but almost. Is that a blessing? In the 1950s, 57% of the table vegetables came out of California. Yeah. Today, it's just reversed. About 50% or more of our vegetables are imported into the United States from Mexico or from some other place around the world. Like I've said, berries from Guatemala, grapes from Chile, and tomatoes from Mexico. I mean, this isn't a blessing. That's a curse. Now, America has gone to the aid of countries around the world when they were facing famine. Do you believe, honest to God, do you believe that when America is facing famine that the Ethiopians, Somalians, and the Nigerians are going to be sending food to the United States? Do you believe it? Verse 17, he said, "Cursed shall be your basket and your store." We used to have food surpluses in the United States to a degree when I was a kid that they used to pile grain down the middles of the streets, you know, the center of your streets in the small towns of Kansas. They didn't have any room in the silo. They dumped it out in the streets and made long windrows out of it until they could deal with it. We used to have crop storage, you know, government crop storage and surpluses and just about everything you could name. Hey, they're all gone. No more surpluses. Just-in-time delivery. Walmart. When you go into a Walmart store, take a look at the shelves. Look at the shelves. They're not full. They only put on the shelves what they can sell every day. The truck comes in at 8 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning. And that truck comes in every day. Go to your auto parts store and tell them you want to buy something. They'll say, "Well, we don't have it in stock, but it'll be here at 8 o'clock in the morning." They'll phone the order in to their central warehouse and they'll deliver it in the morning. Just-in-time delivery, they call that. No surpluses, no extras. When we need it, we'll make it. Well, how is that going to work? During World War II, America was the nation that supplied the Allies with their war material. That's what made the difference. Today, you couldn't build an airplane in the United States of America. The parts come from all over the world. You can't feed Americans. Your food comes from someplace else in the world. Even garlic. Garlic, a little small industry like garlic. To produce it in the United States costs $16 a pound. To produce it in China, they can sell it in this country for $3.65 a pound. And so the choice is, do we want to pay $3.65 to the Chinese and let our garlic industry go? Or would we rather pay $16 and be independent in garlic production? The answer was, we'd rather buy it from the Chinese. So the garlic industry is dead. The tomato industry is dead. We get our tomatoes now from Mexico. We get our garlic from China. Now, do you think that when the world turns upside down, that those countries are going to feed us? They're going to send us free food from Mexico to the gringos? Verse 18, he says, "Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the fruit of your land." The fruit of your body. Did you know that 5% of births in the United States have birth defects? 1 in 20, 5%. That's not a blessing. And then take a look at the sudden infant death syndrome, the childhood diabetes, autism. Those aren't blessings. Those are curses. And he says, and then the fruit of your land and the increase of your kine and the flocks of your sheep. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. The Eternal will send upon you cursing, vexation, and rebuke in everything that you set your hand unto for to do until you be destroyed, until you perish quickly, because of the wickedness of your doings, whereby you have forsaken me. Did you ever notice how George Bush, our president, always says, "Well, God bless America. God bless America." You ever notice that? And they all wear these flags and their lapels over here. Well, there was a time in America when America was blessed. How about that war in Iraq? Do you call that a blessing? That attack on 9/11 in New York, do you call that a blessing? And now take a look at the threat. You know, here was the promise that God said, "I will make your enemies to be at peace with you. I'll give you peace in the land." Instead, we're getting a stinging rebuke. We're fearful and timid. And they say, you know, now that our railroads are a vulnerability to us, and that these containers that are coming into the United States, you know, from all over the world, are a vulnerability. What if they stick a nuke in one of those containers, or what if they attack a railroad train, you know, loaded with toxic chemicals as the train is moving through a major metropolitan area? I've been watching the news lately. Boys and girls, those aren't blessings. Now, right now, it's just a threat. But you know, that threat didn't exist when we weren't importing all of this stuff from around the world. When we adopted free trade, we opened up Pandora's box. You know, America used to have a protectionist policy. We wouldn't import garlic from China. We would tax garlic from China. If they want to sell garlic over here in the United States, they got to pay a tax, and that tax financed our government. We let the foreigners, we let the nations around the world finance our federal government. Today, we've replaced the import and export tariffs with the income tax so that we can support that government, so that we can support the garlic industry in China. And that's great for the Chinese, and I don't begrudge it. But how does that benefit you working on the assembly line in Detroit as your jobs are being exported to China? You know, I would think that Americans would wake up, but they haven't. Not in 75 years. Americans are just as dead asleep today as they were in 1933 when they elected Franklin Roosevelt. But there's more. In verse 20, it said, "The Lord will send upon you cursing, vexation, and rebuke in everything that you set your hand to do." Just take a look at what Americans are doing around the world. Just tell us, is there anything in which we're being blessed? Think about it. And then write me an email and say, here, look at how we're being blessed over here in this enterprise. Look at Iraq and Afghanistan. Look how we're winning the war. Look at our national debt. Look at our economics. Look at our job pictures. Well, and send me something. You know, send me some good news. Verse 21, he says, "The Eternal will make the pestilence cleave unto you until you he has consumed you from off the land where you go in to possess it." That's a disease. Take a look at AIDS, pandemic worldwide. Then take a look at the threats from disease. You know, when I was a kid, we never had threats from bubonic plague or avian bird flu or AIDS. Times have changed in the last 50 years, wouldn't you say? Now, about every every 2 or 3 months, you know, they'll come back and they'll say, well, let's tell you, give you an update here on this avian flu thing. Well, I suspect that one of these days, it'll come to pass. It did in 1918, remember? We had this terrible flu, they called it the Spanish flu. I don't know, it killed a couple million people here in the United States. Not a great number, but it was a bunch. I don't know, it killed around 50 to 100 million people, they estimate, around the world. And oftentimes, you know, when you see these numbers, you say, well, was it 50 million or was it 100 million? Well, when somebody dies from the flu and they put that on your death certificate, they rack it up and say, well, the guy died from the Spanish flu. But if you got the Spanish flu and it triggered a heart attack, they would say, well, the guy died from a heart attack. Now, that's the problem that we have with AIDS. Not very many people die from AIDS. They don't live long enough to die from AIDS. They die from some other opportunistic disease. But the root cause of it was AIDS. He goes on in verse 22, the Eternal will smite you with a consumption and with a fever and with an inflammation and with an extreme burning and with the sword, that's war, and with blasting and with mildew, and they shall pursue you until you perish. And your heaven that is over your head shall be brass, and the earth that is under you shall be iron. Now that's that famine that you're having, this drought that you're having out in the West. Ultimately, that turns into famine. Droughts, at some point in time, turn into famine. I did a report on the Colorado River running at 5 million acre feet a year. Should be running at 15. It's running at about one-third. Historically, they went back, you know, to dating, you know, droughts in the Southwest by tree rings, and they can't find anything like this drought in the West until you go back 500 years to about 1500. About 1500. The Colorado River was running that low. Now, I don't know. It looks like to me that the reason that drought was occurring in 1500 was to drive the Indians out. Did you notice that all of the Indian civilizations here in the New World have been destroyed? You take a look around the world at past history and you look at the destruction of the Egyptians, Babylonians, the Assyrians, the Greeks, the Romans. Did you know that these prophecies concerning the destruction of these civilizations is predicted, prophesied in the Bible? You know, great nation states like Sidon and Tyre, Egypt, Greece, Assyria, Babylon, and Rome, all of them predicted in the Bible to be destroyed. And in time sequence. And then in prophetic terms, such as Tyre, never to be rebuilt again. And to this day, nobody's living in Tyre. It was destroyed and never been rebuilt. Same thing with Babylon. And the Egyptians, there was a neat prophecy. God said, I'm going to destroy you Egyptians, about 500 B.C. And he said, there'll never be another native prince to sit on the throne. Do you know the people that live in Egypt today are Arabs? They're not Egyptians. The Egyptians are Copts who live in southern Egypt and in Sudan. They call them Christians today, about 3 million of them. They've been diminished, and they're persecuted, and there's no native Egyptian prince to sit on the throne. And there won't be one either. How's that? Yeah, I can say that with confidence, because this God, the God of the Scripture, has the power to bring this to pass. This isn't a good guess. This isn't some prognosticator in the National Enquirer who says, well, California is going to fall off into the ocean. Hell, if California fell off into the ocean, it would be a lucky guess. Prophecy isn't based upon lucky guesses. It's based upon the ability, the capacity, and the power to interfere or intervene in world geopolitics and bring it to pass. Take these droughts over here. He said, here's what I'm going to do to you. I'm going to bring a drought on you, and I'm going to bring blasting and mildew upon you. And then there's other prophecies in here that talk about, I'm gonna take this rain and due season away from you. Now, just take a look at what happened to you up in the Northeast. And then take a look at what's happening to you out in the West. And then take a look at this Hurricane Rita and Katrina. And then say to yourselves, you know, or ask yourselves, well, wait a minute. Has this always been going on like this? No, it hasn't. And so, to explain it away, they come to you and they say, well, it's global warming. That's what's doing it. See, it's global warming. Excuse me, children. Who's causing the global warming? And somebody comes along and says, well, it's fossil fuels. We're doing it. Well, let's suppose that we could turn the clock back and that we could take all this carbon or whatever they're calling it, greenhouse gas, out of the atmosphere. And that would give us good weather again. Is that what you're telling me? The drought in the West would end, and then the hurricanes and the excessive rain up here in the Northeast would cease. Remember back in 93, they had this really an unusual weather pattern settled in over the Midwest, and it rained for about 6 weeks there. And the Mississippi River flooded. And they said, well, this is one of those 100-year floods. This only happens once in 100 years. What if it happens in the next 5 years? These 100-year floods happen every 10 or 15 years. You know, what are you going to say about that? But there's more. It gets worse. As we progress along, it gets worse. In verse 24, he says, the Eternal will make the rain of your land powder and dust, and from heaven shall it come down upon you until you be destroyed. Notice the objective here is the destruction of the nation. Destruction and then deportation gets worse. After you've been destroyed, then we're going to take the remainder of you, about one-third of you, and we're going to ship you off to Ethiopia, Libya, and Egypt. Verse 25, he says, the Eternal will cause you to be smitten before your enemies, and you shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and you shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. You shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. Now, jot that down. If you got a pen and paper, write down. National deportation. Now, if that happens, remember that you heard it first, right here. If it doesn't happen in your lifetime, which you ought to be hoping that it doesn't happen in your lifetime, then all that proves is that it's going to happen in the next generation's lifetime. I told my daughter the other day, I said, you know, I've been waiting for this for 30 years. And the Apostle Paul had been waiting for this all of his life, and that he had made comments under inspiration of God, but nevertheless comments about he thought that the second coming was going to occur in his lifetime. That's what he thought. And it didn't happen. No, Noah's flood only happened once. The destruction of the Egyptians in the Red Sea only occurred once. Actually, it occurred in the Gulf of Aqaba, but then if I said the Gulf of Aqaba, you know, you'd say, well, I didn't learn that in Sunday school, so therefore I don't know about that story. But the Red Sea, yeah, I know about that. Goes to show you how ignorant we are concerning the Bible, you know that? I'll bet you the Buddhists know more about their God than Americans know about their God. And I'll bet you the Muslims know more about Allah than the average Joe Sixpack American knows about his God, the God of the Scripture. I'll bet you, you know, that the average Japanese or Chinese knows more about their gods and their history concerning their religious ideologies than does the average Jew in the world. We're a nation of biblical illiterates. We haven't got a clue. And we've been taught evolutionary philosophy, and we've accepted that. And that's part and parcel with communism, the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, and we've accepted that. We've adopted that. It's a good program, we think. Now take a look here. These curses. Verse 25, verse 26, he says, "Your carcass shall be meat unto the fowls of the air, and unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall flay them away." The Eternal will smite you with the botch of Egypt, diseases like Lou Gehrig's disease and cancer, and with the emerods, and with the scab, and with the itch whereof you cannot be healed. You ever notice how many diseases cannot be healed? Well, we got treatments. As long as you got insurance, we've got a treatment. We haven't got a cure for anything. Can't cure a common cold, for crying out loud. Can't prevent it either. You can treat your diabetes with insulin, but we don't know what causes diabetes, and we haven't got a clue as to how to cure it. Not that anybody wants to cure it, because there's no money in cures. There's money in treatment, money in insulin. And where do these diseases come from? I've reported on that a time or two. It's a cause and effect relationship. You violate these laws, and then there's an effect that comes from it. You know, you eat fat. We Americans eat a lot of fat. And then it plugs up our arteries and we have coronary disease. We have the highest incidence of coronary disease in the world. And we also, coincidentally, have the highest per capita consumption of fat in the world. America. And boys and girls, that isn't rocket science. That's just cause and effect. And God told you, you shall eat no manner of fat. Twice. Two statutes in the scripture tell you not to eat fat. And so we go down to McDonald's and we load up on fat. 30% fat by law. Isn't that just real special? Your legislature legislated 30% fat by law into your hamburger. You eat the hamburger, plugs up your arteries, gives you a coronary, and we all sit here, you know, fidgeting and wringing our hands, and we, oh my God, what are we going to do about heart disease and stroke? Oh my God, high blood pressure and high triglycerides and cholesterol. And we spend billions of dollars collectively, billions of dollars a year. In fact, it's $1.6 trillion. $1.6 trillion a year on medicine in the United States. You like that? $1.6 trillion. Let me give you a reminder before we get on with any more bad news. You're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, please go to our homeschool page on our website at georgegordon.org. Remember, the Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archive. It can be accessed through the webpage. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Remember, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events 7 days a week. And the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours. Just call the law school direct, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone, and they don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please visit our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're back. Let me drink a little water here. wet my whistle a little bit so I can give you some more bad news. All right, we're covering the contract penalty clause in the Old Covenant contract. Remember that Old Covenant now is written. Got to ask your preacher this next time you go to church. 65% of Americans go to church, for the rest of you people around the world. We're a very religious people here. We go to church. 65% of us go to church every Sunday. And then a bunch more of us, I suppose, go on Wednesdays, and we're real righteous. Well, anyway, go ask your preacher where the Old Covenant contract's located in the Bible. He won't know. He didn't have a clue. He can't find it with both hands at high noon with a road map. So if you got a pen and paper out there, let me tell you where it's at. There's a contract negotiated by Moses with your great-great-great-granddaddy 84 generations back, about 1329 B.C., and it's located in Exodus 19, verse 16, through Exodus 24, verse 8. And under the terms of that contract, we were specifically told not to practice communism and not to add to this law and don't take anything away from it. Don't add to it and don't take away from it. Now, we've adopted democracy. I don't know where we got this democracy idea from, but anyway, we got it in our minds that we want to practice democracy. We want to export it to the world. We want everybody to participate in democracy. Our founding fathers loathed democracy. They never had a single good word about democracy. And they gave us a constitutional republic, and we turned it into a democracy. And now we're exporting this democratic, we call it the democratic principles around the world. I should point out to you that God is not a Democrat. Often said Moses was a Republican. And you'll see that in Numbers chapter 18. Just take a look at Korah's rebellion, Numbers chapter 18, and tell me that Moses was anything but a Republican. Huh? Now, the bottom line to this is that we've got a contract with our God, and we're in breach of contract. I pointed that out to you earlier, that law, in reality, is contract. Nothing more, nothing less. It's an agreement, and sometimes it's a meeting of the mind. Sometimes it's an agreement that you and I work out sitting in your kitchen while we're working out a deal on remodeling your kitchen. And it's called a meeting of the minds, but we also have contracts known as adhesion contracts. Those are contracts that you don't necessarily know anything about. And you certainly don't know all of the terms and conditions. Your driver's license is a classic example. Marriage license. Another one. You don't know all of the marriage laws and all of the statutes that regulate marriage and families in your state. You got a marriage license and it binds you to all of them. Furthermore, the legislature can change those statutes and laws. They don't have to give you any prior notice or any post notice. They don't have to give you any notice at all. And you've got 2,000 traffic statutes in your state and you don't know all of those 2,000 traffic statutes. Never read them, and you probably wouldn't know where to find them. Other than the driver's handbook, that's about all the law that you know concerning driving an automobile. And that little driver's handbook that they gave you probably covers less than 1% of the laws in your state that regulate traffic and automobiles and travel in your state. I would say that a person who knows as little as 1% of something for practical purposes is just plain illiterate. Often said that I'm an old-timey pilot, and let's suppose that we're going to go on a plane trip, and I'm going to fly us. And I'm going to fly us in a 747 from Miami to Los Angeles. And we sit down, and I say, well, why don't you sit down there in the right seat, and You can sit here and play co-pilot while I fly the 747 out to Los Angeles. And so I look around in the cockpit, I'm kind of wondering to myself what all these instruments are about. And maybe you say to me, well, now Gordon, there's a lot of instruments in here. Do you understand? Do you recognize all these instruments? Do you know what they're all for? And I look at you and I say, no, I. You know, like this whole panel over here, I've got a clue as to what this is all about. I don't know what that is. I know these are the throttles here. I know these are the throttles. And I know that those things on the floor are the rudder controls. And here in the wheel, I've got the ailerons and the elevator control. I know about that. Oh, and I can find the airspeed indicator over here. And here's the altimeter. I can recognize those. But this bank of switches over here, I've got a clue as to what that's all about. And maybe you get a little nervous at that time. You say, well, Gordon, how much of the instrumentation do you recognize up here in this cabin? And I'd say, well, just kind of looking at it, I'd say about 5%. I recognize and understand about 5%. I learned it in my Aronka Champ. And you say, well, now, let's see, you're a pilot. Yep, I'm a pilot. And you're sitting in the pilot seat. Yep, I'm sitting in the pilot seat. And you recognize about 5% of the instruments in this airplane. And I say, yep, that's about right, about 5%. You want to fly with me, do you? Hell, I don't want to fly with myself. That's insane. Nobody wants to fly with a pilot that knows 5% of what's going on up in the cockpit. And you want to ride with somebody in an automobile that knows 5% of the laws of his state concerning automobile? You want to place your trust or your faith in some religious guy over here that couldn't find the contract that binds you to your God, and he can't find it in the Bible? Not only doesn't he know what it is, hell, he can't even find where it's at. Test him. Ask him where it's at. And then write me a letter. I've asked listeners to do this for years. I have yet to receive one email, one letter, one postcard in 22 years where somebody ever wrote me a letter and said, well, my pastor knew where the Old Covenant contract was located in the Bible. He just opened the Bible and said, it's right here. Exodus 19:16 through Exodus 24:8. That's because preachers don't deal with law. They deal with religion. They're salesmen. They're selling you what you want to hear, religion. They're not selling you law. Now, Deuteronomy 28 is law. And what we're dealing here is the penal clause to a contract. America is in breach of contract. That's what the problem is. And it's not just in America, it's in Australia, New Zealand, and Canada also. It's also in Western Europe. Now, we're real religious, and we go to church, and we're Catholics, Protestants, and Jews, but we are biblical illiterates. We don't know what the terms and conditions of the agreement are. And we're in violation of the terms and conditions of the agreement. Let me show you some more. We're talking about here this botch of Egypt in verse 27. Now we're in Deuteronomy 28, in verse 27. He says, the Eternal will smite you with the botch of Egypt. Botch, B-O-T-C-H. You got any idea what the botch of Egypt is? Well, there's about 450 diseases, and they're cataloged, and they're copyrighted. Cataloged and copyrighted, or patented. You know, diseases like cancer, heart attack, stroke, Lou Gehrig's disease. They got a name for that. It's not Lou Gehrig's disease, but they got names for all these diseases. And when somebody goes out and they say to you, oh, you've got cancer. Well, listen, here's what you do for cancer. And then that guy gets prosecuted for practicing medicine without a license. Have you heard of that? Practicing medicine without a license. So you got to be very careful. You know, if I said to you, well, you look like you're dehydrated. You know what that is? That's diagnosis. And then if I carry if I go a step further and say, I think you should drink a glass of water, that's a prescription. And that's a crime. Do you know that? A crime. It's called practicing medicine without a license. Well, there's 450 of those diseases. Copyrighted, owned. And again, it's a matter of law. The medical profession, or the American Cancer Society, or the American Diabetes Association, they are the proprietors of those copyrights, leases, and patents. Just like Coca-Cola. You can't make Coca-Cola, even if you've got the formula. It's against the law, because, you see, the Coca-Cola company owns that patent, and you can't have that. So when you go out here and you practice medicine without a license, you know, cancer. I can't deal with cancer, but I can deal with the botch of Egypt. So if somebody said to me, hey, listen, what do you think's wrong with me? I said, well, I think you've got the botch of Egypt. You've got the itch, the scab, or you've got the emrods. Now, what were these diseases? You take a look at the mummies that come out of Egypt, and you find they were cursed with all of the same diseases that we have today. They've identified diabetes, heart disease, cancer. In fact, the Egyptians were suffering from these same diseases that we're suffering from today because they were practicing the same criminal behavior that we're practicing today. Criminal behavior. Violation of the law. Break the law, it's a crime. Now, when you break the law, there's a cause and effect relationship. But it gets worse than that. Not only is there a cause and effect relationship, but at some point in time, God comes along and he says, you know, you guys aren't smart enough to figure out that eating fat causes a heart attack. So I'm going to come down on you, and I'm really going to shake you up. I'm going to curse you with a war. I'm going to send natural plagues upon you, like hurricanes and tornadoes. I'm going to reform you. I'm going to destroy you. Now, some of us want to be reformed, and some of us don't. And then if you don't want to be reformed, well, then change channels. Don't let me get involved. Don't let me spoil your day. Go turn the dial a little ways and get some rock and roll, you know, some sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and have a blast. Now, for the rest of us, the two or three of us that are still listening over here, the bottom line to this is reformation. We, you know, God wants to reform you. It's what he told you in Leviticus 26. And he said, if you won't be reformed by all of this, then I'm really going to get tough on you. And that's because we got this contract. Verse 29, he says, you shall grope at noonday as the blind gropes in darkness, and you shall not prosper in your ways, and you shall only be oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man will save you. How do you like this? You shall only be oppressed and spoiled. Doesn't that remind you of the IRS and the EPA, State Tax Commission? And then my hired man today said to me, he said, did you hear the news? They're going to start building automobiles with a special device in there so that they can measure the amount of miles that you drive so that they can tax you for the miles that you're driving. Well, isn't that just real special? Talk about oppression, huh? You're already paying about 75% of everything that you create and produce in taxes. And now your government's coming up with some new scheme over here to tax you some more. We're going to tax you in a little different way. We're going to keep you at home is what this boils down to. Americans have been freewheelers for the last 100 years. You know, we like to get in our automobiles and drive across the country. That's about to come to an end. And you're going to be oppressed. If you think that Homeland Security and the Patriot Act is oppression, you wait until oppression arrives. You ain't seen nothing yet. So little by little, you'll notice that this secular government that we decided that we wanted, remember in 1 Samuel 8, we said we want a king like all the nations around us. Remember that story? Well, we got him in spades. We call him George Bush in this country. You call him Howard down in Australia, doesn't he? Prime Minister Howard. You got the same kind of tyranny coming down on you in Australia. They've already taken your guns away from you down in Australia. They haven't got that far here in the United States, but they're working on it. We've got Barbara Boxer and Dianne Feinstein and Ted Kennedy working their little hearts out, trying to take our guns away from us over here, too. Just like they did in Britain, Australia. In verse 30, it says, "You shall betroth a wife, and then another man shall lie with her. You shall build a house, and you shall not dwell therein. You shall plant a vineyard, and shall not gather the grapes thereof. Your ox will be slain before your eyes, and you shall not eat thereof. Your ass shall be violently taken away from before your face, and you shall not, and it shall not be restored to you. And your sheep shall be given to your enemies, and you shall have none to rescue them. Your sons and your daughters shall be given unto another people, and your eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in your hand." We call that social lady here in the United States. Social lady comes in and takes 2.5 million children a year out of their homes. We call this the doctrine of parens patriae. And the state owns your children. Literally, the state owns your children. You gave them to the state by way of the birth certificate. You created the scenario with your marriage license, and you completed it with the birth certificate. And then the social lady comes along and says, "We don't like the way you're raising our kid." And they take him away and put him in a foster home. Yeah, that's the way they do that. Now somebody says, "Well, you know, there's child abuse going on." Yeah, it's caused by the Department of Family Services, child abuse. No two ways about it. In fact, here in Missouri, my observation of the process has been that the Family Services program creates more child abuse than the abusive parents. It's worse. The child abuse system is worse than the abusive parents. Now, that's my observation. In any event, they're taking your kids away from you. And in any event, you're sending your children to public school, and in any event, you're raising your children in an environment that you're probably not too happy with, but you're powerless to do anything about. That's the way most people report it to me. I'm just powerless to do anything about it. And that's what God told you over here. He said, you know, you would be powerless. Now, Americans used to be empowered. Americans used to be in control of their families, in control of their children, in control of their finances, in control of their destiny, in control of their property. It's not true any longer. And as you go through Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28, you know, in your quiet moments, just reflect on it and say, oh my God, that's happening to us. That was my wake-up call years ago. I went to a Patriot meeting. And this guy was talking about communism and the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto. His name was Steve Gibson. Particularly, he was zeroed in on the Second Amendment. And he said, we're practicing communism here, and that's what our problem is. And then I went back to my office the next day, and I didn't have a copy of the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto. I sent my secretary down to the library, and I said, well, find the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto for me. She came back, and I took a look at those, and I checked off number 1, number 2, number 3, number 5. Now, just take a look at number 10, free education for all children in public school. Now, take a look at your Constitution of the United States. In fact, I would almost wager a guess and say, I think you people in Australia could take a look at your Constitution. I don't think you're going to find any public school in your Constitution. I don't know that. I'm not an Australian, but I'm here in the United States, it's not provided for. Our founding fathers did not provide for public education. That's a communist ideology. Our founding fathers provided for home school and parochial school, church school, but they never provided for public school. Oh, our politics, our government's hot and heavy into public school today. But it's not that our founding fathers thunk that up. That's the 10th plank. And then how about your central bank? You know, our founding fathers gave us gold and silver coin and a national mint to produce it. They called it the Coinage Act of 1792. I'll bet you people up in Canada have something very similar to that. And both the Australians and Canadians have their own gold and silver coin, which is still a practice of the Mosaic Law. We still practice some of the Mosaic Law. You'll find that in Anglo-Saxon countries. But boys and girls, our problem is that we are practicing less and less of it, and more communism. Income tax, second plank. Central bank, fifth plank. Public school, tenth plank. I mean, come on, kids. I took a look at that, and I woke up, and I said, you know, I'm a practicing communist. I didn't design it that way. I didn't practice. I didn't intend it that way. I didn't intend to practice communism, but that's what I'm doing. So I set about to change that. Now, today I can report to you that I'm no longer practicing any of the Ten Planks to the Communist Manifesto, and I'm practicing all 10 of the Ten Commandments. Some guy can write me a letter and say, well, you self-righteous moron. What the hell is self-righteous about thou shalt not steal? What the hell is self-righteous about keeping your hands off your neighbor's wife? I don't see anything self-righteous about that. What's self-righteous about standing out of a whorehouse, telling that lot lizard to get lost? Huh? What's self-righteous about that? Sounds more like common sense to me. Now, if you can do one or two, you know, you might be able to do three or four, and then pretty soon you might do five or six, seven, eight, nine, ten. You know, I would contend that the Ten Commandments are a hell of a lot easier to follow than 2,000 traffic codes. I would suggest to you that 759 laws are a hell of a lot easier to follow than 2.5 million. Now, I've never read those 2.5 million laws, but I know about where they're located. I mean, I'm not deaf, dumb, and blind. I could find them. I don't need a road map. It doesn't even have to be high noon. I can find them. I'm looking over here at the U.S. Code. There's about 100 volumes there in the U.S. Code. Title 18 deals with general crime. Title 26 deals with taxes. You know, God gave us an entire tax law, and I bet you that it doesn't. I bet you that the whole thing could fit on an 8.5 by 11 page. The whole tithing law. Now, go take a look at your U.S. Code. Title 26, and see what your Congress has given you in the way of tax legislation. Then ask yourself, is that a blessing or is that a curse? Now, boys and girls, we're in the process of being destroyed. And don't blame it on the Republicans and don't blame it on the Democrats. Give credit where credit's due. We're being destroyed by our own God. We're being destroyed by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Systematically, slowly, inexorably destroyed. And not only is our destruction coming, it's going to be complete, and we're going to be deported from off the land. We're not even going to die in Australia, New Zealand, and Canada. We are going to be deported to Ethiopia, Libya, and Egypt. All right, I'm out of time. I've got to leave it right there. With a final reminder that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. It'll give you all the straight poop right there, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, remember the homeschooling page on our website. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Well, I see our time's about up. I'm going to have to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, talking about the contract penalty clause. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, and good night, friends.